Blog Talk Radio.
One day, he was on the corner and he couldn't show his face. He was hiding from the police and his own gang. The only choice he had was to die or to go to jail. With tears in his eyes, he said, I have failed. I did wrong, and now the price I have to pay. Can't sleep, I can't eat, don't know what to say. Feel like my life is going straight down the drain. I feel for my children. I wasn't there for them, the only thing I gave was pain. I feel so ashamed. Don't know what to do, where to go, or who to talk to. So I'm asking you to pray. I know I'm nowhere with Jesus, but I still believe in His name. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus, I know that You can. I know that You can hear me. One early Saturday morning, saw a girl I used to know. So I stop and say good morning. I said, girl, what's up? Been a while, how are you? She said, things are not good. Sometimes I feel confused. I know you're not seeing me at church like I used to. I messed around and got AIDS and even got abused. Sometimes I feel like God don't love me anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I really have hope.
Honestly,
I feel like hanging myself with a rope. My faith is weak and my life is moving slow. So I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus. I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
I know that You can hear me.
You to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of Your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, revealed to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name. Well, beloved, we want to get back into and try to finish this. I'll try to finish. Forgiveness is our only option. This will be part five. And we've discovered some things as we've looked at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, which is the Lord's Prayer, because in this we understand that Jesus has connected forgiveness to our life in a mighty way. Forgiveness is an eternal requirement. It's at the forefront of our salvation, and what our job is to do is to make it right, get it right, keep it right, and forgive. I found that forgiveness is the regulator to the flow of God. And it is connected to all of the things that are in our life, our prayers, the declarations of our faith, the victory that he's already given us. But we choose rather to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment in our lives because of the pain that we see. And that's not a good thing for us to do because the devil uses the pain to stop us from growing, to stop us from allowing the grace of God that's available to flow in our lives. So if you, again, if you are with us, we looked at Matthew chapter 18, and Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gave us some insight onto forgiveness, how that the whole kingdom is set up this way, so that we see it in verse 21. Peter was asking a question, and the question was, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? And he asked, "Shall that 70 times, seven times?" And Jesus said, "No, in verse 22, I say not seven, but 70 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he did not have to pay his lord, he commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had till payment could be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found his fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest me. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but he cast him into prison until the debt should be paid. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord what was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said to him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. Should not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. Verse 35, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you do not from the heart forgive every brother his trespass. So he just said that if you don't forgive, you're going to have torment. This is what God is going to make sure happens until you wake up and do what's necessary. And that thing that's necessary is to do what the man did in verse 27. It says, that the Lord of that servant was three things: moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. So there were three things that had to happen. He had to follow compassion. Okay? That's so important that we don't just walk around aimlessly. It said he was moved with, or he followed compassion. Okay? And then he loosed the man. In other words, he was not going to make the man have to pay. He was going to loose the man from what the man owed him. And then he forgave the debt or the offense. See, we found out that the offense is separate from the man, because he loosed the man, okay, and he forgave the debt. So a lot of times we will do half of the one part of the things that it takes here. Move with compassion, follow compassion, forgive, let the man go, forgive the debt. So sometimes we people used to say we'll forgive or we won't forget. You still got the person in bondage, or you're still going to go through torment. And see, I just don't want to go through torment. I'd rather, because Jesus said, this is in red in your Bible, Jesus said, so likewise will my heavenly Father do unto you if you don't forgive. This is not up for negotiation. This is already a law that's written. This is the kingdom principle right here. See? Forgiveness is our only option. It's not something that we can hope that maybe God is going to change his mind about. No, he is looking for you to do that. He called the man that didn't forgive, he called the man wicked. He called the man twisted. Okay, see, that's where we get our word wicked from. Because in the twisting is the strength. So he called the man that would not forgive, he called him twisted, wicked. I'll ask you a question. If I'm trying to get to my destination and I am walking in a crooked manner, I don't expect to get there as easily as if I walked straight and the narrow. God says that in Psalms 84:11, that he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, those that do not walk in a twisted manner. So then I'm asking the question, are there a lack of answered prayers in your life, a lack of miracles and breakthroughs? Well, then I would probably submit that there is some twisted thinking, twisted actions that cause you not to be able to inherit what God says you should inherit. Yes, you might be on the path that you're on, but the path is taking a meandering way to get there. It is twisted instead of walking from point A to point B and get there now. See, you could do the thing and end up redeeming the time if you would walk the straight and narrow. Okay, but what happens is we try to make it work out because we're just going to keep on pressing and keep on working. Well, you could just go ahead and enjoy the victory instead of trying to manufacture the victory. Okay? That's just something that we've got to get used to. God is the one that works his word. See? If you would allow the word to work in you, it will work through you and work for you. But if you don't want to do that, then the flow of God that is regulated by our forgiveness, okay? It's regulated by our forgiveness. And I just would like to tell you that forgiveness is something that's done on the inside, just like unforgiveness is something that is held on in the inside. And unforgiveness is just like a cancer. You can't see how it's working, but it's destroying you from the inside out. It is as an infection, if you would. And so everything that is connected to that unforgiveness is being poisoned. It is being compromised. it is being weakened. So then your faith does not work in the manner that it was ordained to work because it is weakened. The Bible told us that we're supposed to be strong in faith. That's what happened when you see Abraham. The Bible says he was strong in faith. So that would be quite the opposite of being weakened by a compromised thought process or action, wouldn't it? See? He's wanting us to be those that are strong. So then that means I'm going to have to be quick to forgive. I don't have any other option here. Forgiveness is the action that love uses so that we can measure it. See, for God so loved the world that he gave. He did through forgiveness what was necessary to redeem us. Because we were contrary to God. We were sinning against God. And he forgave us so that he can have fellowship with us. Let's do it this way. He forgave us so that we can have fellowship with him. Okay? Because he doesn't need fellowship. He's the all-existing one, self-existing one. But he wants us to be able to fellowship with him. And if you harbor any sin in your heart, then you can't communicate effectively with God. Okay, let's see what that says. And just go on the turn there. As you can see it in Matthew. You can see it in Mark chapter 11. Let's see it that way. We already looked at it in Matthew 18. It said, if you don't forgive, then your Father is going to make you go through the process of torment. And you can label that torment in any way that you would like to see it. Okay? Torment. You will not be at ease. You will be frustrated. That is torment. You will have anxieties and fear. That would be torment. See, the Bible calls us, he called us unto peace. He called us there. He wants us to live in peace. So then if you're not living in peace, I would submit to you that you're probably experiencing torment at whatever level you want to measure it out. Jesus said that his yoke was easy and that his burden is light. He said that if you would follow him, if you would come unto him and learn of him, take his yoke upon you, then you will find rest unto your soul. See, you will come out of the darkness and the hiding power that is involved in that, that causes torment to your life that you don't even know the why of. I just ask some questions. Do you have things that you don't know why they happen? Would you call those things that are happening when you don't have any understanding, would you call those things in those times of torment? He's trying to get us to the place where we can enjoy his presence. He's wanting us to be sons of the Most High God that are perfect, mature, so that we can be about our Father's business. If you are angry, unfortunately, what happens most of the time when we are angry, we sin, even though the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Most of the time, if we're angry, we are sinning. Because we are harboring something that Jesus told us not to harbor. If you do not from the heart forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Okay? God's looking at the heart. So then if you don't forgive from the heart, that's why I would recommend he wants us to do it, because he wants to be able to flow blessings into your life and through your life. But if you don't forgive, and forgiveness is the regulator to this flow, then you're going to become, if you don't let the regulator of forgiveness work, then you're going to dam up the works. He's looking for a flow. And you're not willing to let people go. That means you're going to live a damned life. Because you're damming up the flow. You are stopping the flow. Okay? I mean, he wants you to be in a position where blessings come up on you and they overtake you. Glory to God. He wants you to be so blessed that you are blessed when you come in. You are blessed when you go out. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the field. I mean, that's just blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing. Blessing coming in every direction. Glory to God. Not only will blessings come down, blessings will come up. Glory to God. They will bubble up. See, if we would get these things in our heart and understand, we can stop trying to figure out how God's going to do it. We'll just simply have the confidence that he's going to cause all things to work together for my good. That my blessing doesn't have to just come from the north. Because I'm going to be blessed coming in and going out. Say it this way. I'll even be able to get a backwards blessing if I'm coming in or if I'm going out. If I'm in population or in isolation, blessed in the city or in the field. See, God wants to bless. He wants to empower me so that people will know that I'm connected to him because love flows all the time. Forgiveness flows all the time. I don't have time to be petty about whether or not I'm going to allow the grace of God to come through me. Why do you think he calls me to be full of grace? See? Because the Bible says in the book of Acts that once we connect to Jesus correctly, it says, and great grace was upon them all. Not limited grace, great grace was upon them all. Glory, glory to God. See, that's the same grace that Jesus came and released in the earth because he was full of grace and truth. Full of it. Why? Because we was going to need it. Because we was offending him left, right, and sideways as his creations. Doing treason left, right, and sideways. Agreeing with this enemy and adversary. See? And so Jesus came and he was full of grace. And then he left us great grace. So I don't know how we can think that there's something we should not be able to do because the great grace that's upon us all causes us to win, causes us to execute. I can do not some things. I can do all things through the grace that Jesus gave me, through Christ who strengthens me. What will he strengthen you with? He will strengthen you with grace by his word through his spirit. He will strengthen you with grace by his word through his spirit. And when we get accustomed to that process, to thinking from that perspective, then I won't do anything to frustrate the grace of God. Paul used to mess up stuff. But Paul said, I came to the place where I know I do not frustrate the grace of God anymore. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Then he says the things that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and following. He stopped frustrating the grace of God. He decided that the best thing he can do is allow this flow to take place because everything that he needs in his life can be accomplished by the grace of God. Everything that you need in your life can be accomplished by the grace of God. That's why Jesus would say things like, it's not me that's doing the work, it's the Father in me. He's the one doing the work. See? That's why he did not have to make himself of any reputation, because it wasn't him doing the work. It was the Father in him. It was the submission to the Father that got the thing done. So it would be exactly the same for you today. It is the submission to the Word that gets the things done. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. If you submit to him, he'll be able to do in you, through you, and for you what's needed. And it doesn't even matter what's coming against you. Glory to God. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? See? I mean, these are the thoughts that Jesus would think. And he asks us to have these thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. See? That I'm going to allow God to do what God wants to do. That's this mind. For it is God that's at work, both in you to do and to will of his good pleasure. It's God that's doing that. So it's not me. All he's looking for is my obedience. If I am willing and obedient, I'll change my diet. I'll eat the good of the land, he said. See, I won't be frustrated. I'll be the one eating the good of the land. I won't be the one living in questions. I'll be the one living in guarantee. Hallelujah. Because I'm not the one following fables that were cunningly devised. I'll be the one walking in truth. And he has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. He will not withhold any good thing from those that do that. See? It becomes incumbent upon us to operate in this forgiveness so we can let the flow of God happen in our lives. We need that flow even the more today. Amen. I would say, well, yeah, I would definitely have to say that, because the scripture said where sin did abound, much more grace did abound. So we need the grace of God, because it's more available than the sin that we've been participating in. And the definition that I would like to give you for sin is not just missing the mark. It is being without a portion. See? So here you are trying to live your life without the portion of the victory that he's already provided. So that means now you're going to try to live under the curse, and you're going to live by the sweat of your brow, by your effort, if you would. And he came and he redeemed you from that, so you don't have to live by your effort anymore. The just now live by faith. And faith requires love to flow. Faith requires forgiveness. Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 11. Okay, this is where we kind of stopped last time and understood some things. Chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus, it says, Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and Jesus entered into the temple. And when he had looked around about up on all things, when he had looked around about upon all things, so he looked around about on everything that was in Jerusalem and everything that was in the temple. And it says he did that all day. And now eventide was come. So when he entered into Jerusalem, he stayed there until it was eventide. And then he went to Bethany with the 12. And then he mulled on that. He thought about that. And then on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily, if happily he might find anything thereupon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, Jesus talked to the tree. I just want to let you see that. He responded to the tree. He didn't record what was happening while he responded. but I'll give you a clue to some of the things here. Notice he was going to a tree that had figs, fig leaves. Well, when you look at Genesis, the thing that Adam did after he sinned, after he took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says then he covered himself with fig leaves. So that would give us the understanding that it was a fig tree that was the place where the transgression took place. So Jesus goes back to the beginning at the place where the fig tree was, or the place of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil was represented. Okay? And the Sadducees and the Pharisees had built the temple in a place around the trees because they were saying that this is the place where we should eat from. And Jesus came and dealt with that and said, no, we're going to give you a different appetite. We're not going to have you eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he said he cursed the tree that would cause them to understand this is where the problem was. And he said, we are not going to do that anymore. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. That's why it was the cursing of a fig tree. Okay? That's some study. You can just go and deal with it. You can study it out yourself. You'll see the same thing. And then the disciples heard it. So Jesus did not do this by accident. He was doing this on purpose because the disciples heard it. Okay? And then they would come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and he would not even suffer a man to carry the vessel through the temple. And he did this, and there was something that I missed. Jesus doesn't just do things because he's upset. He doesn't do things just for effect. Okay? Jesus is always trying to get us into the presence of the Father, into the understanding of the Spirit. Because as he was turning over the tables, in verse 17 it says, and he taught them saying, wow. So it was to get them to have a different focus. He taught them saying, it's not written that my house shall be called the house of prayer of all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. They didn't understand the revelation. Jesus brought the revelation to them and said, we're not going to do this anymore. It's not about you getting what you can get. It's about finding what God intended from the beginning. And what God intended was fellowship with him, conversation with him. You do remember, again, what Adam enjoyed. Adam enjoyed fellowship. He would walk with God in the cool of the day. He would get information and inspiration from God for his life. And Jesus is coming back to restore that. And so he says, when you come to the place where you recognize God's presence is, it's not for you to be selling and merchandising. It's for you to have communication, inspiration, information. Okay? And you have made it a den of thieves. You have made it a place where people come and they try to pay their way into righteousness. And guess not what God ever required. So Jesus came and he disrupted their thinking. Okay? He cursed the fig tree because the time of figs was not yet. They were immature. You see that? He was speaking to the tree and the maturity of the tree. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will always be an immature position for you to grasp after. Because you got to remember, they were already invited to the tree of life. The only tree God told them not to eat of is the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, because when you eat of that tree, then you shall surely die. And just for math purposes, Adam did not live to be 1,000 years old, because in the time frame that we understand from God, is one day is as 1,000 years. And Adam didn't make it to 1,000 years. The oldest man that was recorded was Methuselah, and it was 969 years, because he could not live a day. See? So Jesus is inviting us into eternal life. So then as we are invited into eternal life, I ask the question, when does eternal life start? Does it start after life, or does it start now? In order for it to be eternal, it has to start now. If it was anything other than that, it would start at that designated time. But it starts now because it is eternal. From this point forward, not starting at that point that's yet to come. Okay. So Jesus came to the tree looking for maturity, the same thing he's looking for in our life, but it was not there. So that means that it was an immature exchange. And so he said, because the time was not yet, he said, now fruitlessness is going to be the thing I'm going to deal with. So then he cursed the way they were thinking, what they were doing, and how they were being. Okay? And he didn't just go down for demonstration. He went there and taught them, saying. And if you know Jesus, if you study Jesus and the life of Jesus, he didn't just make a statement blanket and then he was done with it. He would continue to work that into their understanding. He would say it from a different perspective. He would bring a parable, and they would align themselves with the thinking of that parable, and then they would get it. And he expounded, the Bible says, when they were alone, he expounded all things to them. Wow, he needs us to get it. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. The problem is we don't spend the time with him, because this was when he was alone with them. So then I would submit to you, if you want to get the revelations to become bubbling up and active in your life, you're going to have to spend some time alone with him. Amen. It's going to have to be your automatic. See? Because when you do that, then the word has the ability to enter into a space in your heart that was not made available before. Yeah, I know that you recollect these things, but you didn't have a knowing on the inside, a connection, life connection by the Spirit of God, because that's the way man became a living spirit, is it was connected to the breath of God, the Ruach of God. See, you can have a word that would be a logos word, and it might not benefit you because that word is not alive. But when it becomes a rhema word, a word that is breathed on, it's not a word that was written. It's a word that is a living word. See? Then that rhema word now causes the victory in your life because you live off of that word. There is an exchange of life in a living word. A logos word does not bring with it an exchange of life. It brings with it an understanding that life could be, but not the exchange. A rhema word brings the exchange of life. I hope you got that. We can just look. The devils know that there is one God, but they don't get saved. It doesn't bless them. In fact, their knowledge of that causes them to tremble. See? Because there's no life. There is no possibility for them to get anything out of that. It is still a written word. But Jesus says things like, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are not just logos. See? And a lot of times, I know people that
have a great recollection of Scripture and are living in defeat because those Scripture that they know is not alive on the inside of them. It's not a rhema word. That's where religion comes from. A word that is not alive, but is rehearsed. Amen. It is quoted. Jesus said things about that. He said, you speak stuff, you say the word, but your heart's not connected to it. I mean, he made mention of those things so that we can see there were people that had religious experiences, and they were not having the life of the Spirit. You can have a religious experience and not enjoy the life of the Spirit. The words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. See, so until that exchange happens, then all you're doing is quoting Scripture. And you quoting it with even without the intent of executing it, of not doing it. Because you're just what the Bible says in the book of James, you are just a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. A word that is alive requires action. Faith that is alive requires action. Amen. Faith that is alive is supported by actions. Faith without actions, the Bible says, faith without works is dead, being alone. It didn't say it didn't say it was useless. It said it was dead. It is without life. That's why it would be useless. I get that. But it has been stored. If you have seed and it's on the shelf, can you get any food from that seed on the shelf? It is dormant, without use. It is still seed. When you bury the seed in the soil, when you place the, and I love the word heart and earth, it's the same letters. If you take the H from earth and put it in the front, you get the word heart. That's just one of those kind of cute things God put it as a mystery. So the earth and the heart are interchangeable revelations, if you would. So if you put the word in your heart, then that live word in your heart that's buried, hidden in your heart, causes you to stop missing the mark. That's what David said in Psalms 119, verse 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, so I won't miss the mark, so I won't be without a portion, so I won't sin against you. A hidden word that is active and alive brings with it the victory that I'm looking for. Okay? But if I put the word in my head, it's in a shelf, if you would. It is collected. It is something that I can go back and grasp, but it doesn't give me life because it's on the shelf, if you would. What I need to do is take the word that's on the shelf and put it in the heart, put it in the ground, put it in the earth. See, because once I put it in the earth, then you will start seeing the process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. See? But it will not do anything on the shelf, in the bag. It's still the word, but the logos doesn't bring the victory. It is the Spirit that, he says, otherwise the Spirit is the thing that profits. It's the thing that quickeneth, he said. It's the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. It's not the memory that makes alive. It's the Spirit that makes alive. Yeah, I'm trying to help you to understand why we don't see the miracles that we're believing for. It's because we are still functioning from a head position or head knowledge or experiential knowledge. Okay? And he doesn't want you to live by that. See? The just have their existence. They live by faith. So Jesus taught them and gave them explanation and demonstration. See, he just didn't give you a word. Same thing with Paul. Paul didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. He came with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. He brought evidence. Why? You can bring, glory to God, you can bring evidence when the word is housed in a heart that is active with the word. Jesus said it this way, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and it shall be given you. This is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm just quoting John chapter 15. See? He told us, let the word be alive on the inside of you. Abide in that word. He doesn't want us to have visitations anymore. He said, live there. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. When there is no separation between my word and your actions. See, but what we have a lot of times is a vast separation between what we heard, what we do. We're just hearers of the word, but we're not doers of the word. My daughter used to say all the time, Daddy, I'm trying, and I tell her, as soon as she said, I say, a trier of the word is not the one that's blessed. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. When you are trying, then you're not, when you are trying, you're really not even a believer. Amen. Because when you are a believer, things become possible. They don't just become hopeful. It becomes different. It becomes active. Okay? All things just became possible. When you go to work and you put in 8 hours, then you know you have the possibility of a check. That's not a figment. That's a guarantee, isn't it? Because there is a transfer because of the action. The check's on the way. It's not going to be promised. It's now on the way, isn't it? All the fulfillment of it is waiting on is a date now. Because if the contract said that every 2 weeks you will get the check, then you're going to finish the work within that 2-week span and you will get the promise manifest at the end of the 2 weeks. And we do that every day. We go to work all the time and say, well, you know, that's not faith. Yes, it is. You worked for 2 weeks without the evidence of what you worked for. On the promise that what you did would give you the reward in the 2-week time span. Faith is exactly the same. But when we start attaching God's name to it, we get spooky with it. See, that's why he says stuff like, he's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? His word will not return to him. Boy, this is a check you will be able to cash. But we'll go and say, well, God, I don't know. Don't look like it. How did you come up with that? You went to work. You might have had a budget that caused you to be able to spend your money the right way. And so you spent the money for gas for the 2 weeks so that you would have gas at the end of the 2 weeks. Come on, y'all. It's exactly the same. Let's just stop getting spooky with it. If you do what he says, you will have what he says. You do the word, you get the results the word promised. And you have made, verse 17, and he taught them, saying, is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. But because the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called unto his remembrance, saying, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto them,
have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Literally it says, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. So he just attached forgiveness to the flow of the things that you desire. Because if you have all of his, he makes it really defined. He says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Glory to God. He says, I can't have no room for unforgiveness if you won't answer prayer. I need you to forgive if you have aught against any. Your Father is looking at the whole heart, nothing but the heart. So help you God. So if you have aught against any, and I will help you out with this, sometimes that any could include you. Amen. Because there's a lot of things that we know we did and we can't forgive ourselves of. So then if I have aught against me, then my prayer cannot be hindered. I mean, cannot be answered. It's going to be hindered because I didn't forgive myself. I did not say you didn't excuse yourself. There's a big difference. I said you didn't forgive yourself. Forgiveness requires confession, repentance. See? I didn't say excuse yourself. Excusing yourself would be, well, you know, God knows my heart. No, 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 that's not forgiveness. That's not repentance. That's an excuse. See? Because if you're going to be one that does the word, then you're going to have to come up to the place where you say, nope, that I didn't do last time, that I was disobedient in, that's the last time that'll happen. God, I am repenting of that. I am turning my way from that way. I'm no longer going to be twisted. I am going to be walking the straight and narrow on that. We won't have this conversation again. I mean, there's a lot of things that I had to get to the place where I know, God, we will not have this conversation again. We will not ever have this one. I'm going to set my face like a flint to get past this. I'm not going to keep coming back to you over. I'm not going to crucify the Son of God afresh. I'm not going to keep coming back in the same thing and ask you to forgive me. I didn't mean it. I excused myself rather than repenting and getting forgiveness. Because he says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. So then if I'm operating in repentance, then I should expect a shower, shouldn't I? I should expect a bath, shouldn't I? So if I expect a bath and the water is changed, then I can't go back to the dirty water, can I? Hello? If I expect, when I confess, I should expect a bath, a cleansing. So then I don't go back to the place where the dirt was. I don't have to anymore. I can now let the rivers of living water flow from my belly. I can get new inspiration, new information, so that I'll be able to resist the devil because now I have been cleansed. That's what Jesus said. I'm still in John chapter 15. Now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. So then if he spoke, come on now, if he spoke a word of cleansing, then why am I trying to live a dirty life? Please help me out. If he spoke a word of cleansing to me, why am I still trying to live a dirty life? Amen. I'm supposed to be the one that is regenerated by the washing of the Holy Ghost. So then as the Holy Ghost does his job, then that water is no longer dirty. It's now clean. And he says stuff like, ever so wit clean. Glory to God. Why? Because he wants me to have this fresh start so that I can have fellowship with him as I go through the thing that used to hang me up and stop me.
I'm going to be strengthened now. I have expectation of strength because I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. According to 1 John 1, that, if I confess it, he said he's faithful and just. He ain't just, well, he didn't even say faithful by itself. He said faithful and just. Glory to God. I've got a double portion working when I got my cleansing because he's faithful and just. Whew. To forgive me and to cleanse me from all of it. So then in that place of prayer, in that place of receiving forgiveness, I stand a new creature in Christ Jesus. I stand as the old things having been passed away, and all things are new, and all things are of God. And now he's given me a ministry of reconciliation in that new position. How can I have unforgiveness in my heart? How can I not forgive myself? He took the time to forgive and to cleanse. So Jesus was teaching them how to have expectation in a living word. You might want to write that down. He was teaching them how to have expectation in a living word. He's not trying to get us to live in a dead circumstance. He's already forgiven us of that. He's trying to get us to live in a word of hope, a word of power. Lord, yes, yeah, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. See, Jesus is bringing revelation to the to be in play here. Okay? And when he brings revelation, he's bringing it so that the new thing that you are looking for can now be reached by your spirit man. Okay? He's going to teach us about this. Verse 13 and following. Wow. Wow. In this teaching, Jesus puts it on the heels of a miracle that he did with the five loaves and the fish. And then he brings them, and they were thinking backwards, and they were saying, we don't know how this whole stuff happens. And Jesus asked them, I hadn't looked at this just now. And verse 5, wow. I mean, he starts the teaching all the way from verse 1. The Sadducees and the Pharisees came tempting him, desired that he would show him a sign from heaven. And he answered him and said, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you don't discern the times, the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas, the prophet Jonas. And then he departed them. And when the disciples came to the other side, they forgot to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we didn't take bread. See, Jesus is always trying to get them to stop relying on a flesh response, a flesh understanding. He told them not to think like Pharisees, and they were thinking about bread literally. And they say, he's mad because we didn't take no bread. And then he said, do you not understand? Neither do you remember the five loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves and the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? So it's not about bread, is it? Because we took up bread after and above. He says, How is it that you don't understand that I spake to you not concerning bread, but that you should beware of the way the leaven in the Pharisees' hearts and the Sadducees' hearts produces unfruitfulness? Then they understood that he would not bid them be aware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And on the heels of that, he's going to continue teaching. When he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's going back to get the understanding that they should not think from the position of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees, but he's going to ask them a loaded question, if he would, to see if they get it yet. Who do, notice what he asked, who do men say I am? And they said, well, some say this and some say that, and one saith Elijah and one say Jeremiah. And then he said, now, drill down, begin to have clarity in your heart. Who do you say I am? That's a depth charge question. You can stay out here in the periphery and live your life by what they say, or you can live your life by what you say, by what you believe. And then Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, answered unto him and said, blessed are you, empowered to prosper are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You are empowered, Simon, because there is information coming from an inspired place that will cause you to be strong. This is why you're blessed, Simon, because you're not trying to get information that you process by what other people say. Scripture says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. And I say unto you, verse 18, that because you are Peter, the rock, I will build my church upon the revelation that my Father has sent to you. And I will build my church upon this revelation. God is giving us some information here that we'll be able to process for our victory every day, all day. And he says that when the Father gives, look at some things that happen. When the Father gives a revelation, Jesus said, because the Father gave you a revelation, I can now build on that revelation. And I'm going to build my church upon the revelation. Not the building. I'm going to build the ones that will walk in power and authority. I'm going to build my church upon that. And I'm going to build it in such a way, because of the revelation that you got, I'm going to build it, and not even the gates of hell can stop it. Glory to God. I love the word "and" that he uses here. Let's look at it. Just you circle the time that he said the word "and" here. He said, you're blessed because my Father revealed this to you. And there's more information that's coming, Peter, because my Father revealed it. And I'm going, God Almighty, whoa, look at this. And I'm going to talk to you. Did you just get that? He said, the word "and" is a conjunction. So he says, you're blessed, and now because you're blessed, we can enter into conversation. I will talk to you. I will say also. I will keep on talking to you. I will say also, glory to God, the little words that you see in the scripture, don't run over them. I will say also unto thee that you are a rock, a solid rock, and upon this solid rock I will build my church. Again, that's an "and" there. Let's not run over it. Because the revelation is here, I'm going to talk. And because I'm talking, I'm going to build. And because I'm building, I'm going to stop. Come on. The gates of hell will not prevail. Those are three "ands" right there. He's not finished. And because I'm building, because I'm talking, because I'm stopping, I'm also going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. That's five ands. And I want you to know something about keys. Keys not only keep you safe on the inside as you're locked in, it keeps stuff on the outside. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. So then keys give you access and protection. Is that correct? That's what keys are for. They are for access and protection. Whenever there's a revelation from the Father, Jesus said, I will also talk and I will build. See? So then whenever we decide that we're going to go in and into the things of God and allow the process that he has in place to work, we should expect conversation and building. If you don't expect that, then you didn't believe Jesus when he said that a revelation comes with. The word and is a conjunction, which means these things happen at the same time, simultaneously in succession, if you would. I'm going to speak. I'm going to build. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to give you keys that whatever you bind, whatever you loose, whatever you loose. See, Jesus always builds on the revelation of his word and upon your confession. This is how salvation is accomplished. It's not on your experiences and your emotions. Romans chapter 10:10 says that if you shall believe in your heart and confess, salvation is what's next. See, he always builds on the revelation and your confession. Okay, so did you get that? He wants to expand. He wants to build. Revelation always brings with it an opportunity. You might want to write that down. Revelation always brings with it an opportunity. You're blessed because of the revelation, verse 17. And because of the revelation, I'm going to communicate. I will say also, here is your opportunity, that you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build. I have to have an opportunity to build. I have to have permission to build. And because you exercise faith in the revelation and you confessed it, that's why he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The confession of the revelation put in motion the building and the communication. Did you see that? The revelation and the confession or the communication, okay? Peter said, he answered and said. The revelation came, conversation took place. And Jesus said, we're going to have deeper conversation. I'm going to also say. Okay, we can do it this way. I'm going to confirm the word. That would be the same thing as I'm going to also. Correct? I'm going to do besides. I'm going to, God has said, and I'm going to also say. Revelation always brings with it an opportunity. Opportunity that he wants to do in our lives is to expand and build. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19, just so that you can remember that the word that's a logos word is not enough, because in Acts 13 to 16, there were certain vagabond Jews that were exorcists that took upon them to call over which those had evil spirits about the name of the Lord, saying this,
We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there was the seven sons of Sceva, one Jew, a chief priest, which did the same thing. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. See, if you don't have a revelation, you don't have the support structure to bring victory. The revelation brings the opportunity for victory. They were trying to operate in another man's revelation. We adjure you by this Jesus whom Paul preaches. And they say, well, let me see. Jesus, I know. Paul? Got him. And you talking to me about them but don't know them, you're in trouble. Okay? So we're going to have to allow God to give us the revelation and know that when he gives you the revelation, he's bringing you an opportunity for expansion, an opportunity for victory, because he's going to build there. Okay? When the Father revealed, Jesus builds. When he builds, he's going to expand, increase, and cause overflow. He's going to give you keys to keep out and keys to explore. That's the good part, y'all. Come on. Keys, doors that were never opened to you before. He didn't give you keys to part of the kingdom. He did not say that. He said he's going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Glory to God. There's now no place that you cannot explore. He just gave you the keys to the whole thing. In Luke chapter 12, it says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. Glory to God. See? He's wanting us to grow up in this stuff. He's needing us to hear how truth would cause us to win every time. He's giving you the opportunity to explore and to establish kingdom rule by binding, loosing, through revelations of the heart, into and throughout the whole kingdom. And the whole kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy connected and guided by the Holy Ghost. See, he's wanting us to do this. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Revelation. He's bringing opportunity with every revelation. The Father gives the revelation. Jesus builds on the revelation. He says also unto you. Chapter 20 of the book of Acts, verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. He says, and now the word of his grace is going to build you up. It's going to give you the ability to expand, to increase, to overflow, to investigate and explore other things because of the keys that are now in your hand. Notice he said he gave you these keys. He did not say you earned these keys, you worked for these keys. He said he gave them to you. So then that tells me that any place that I go then, I am not illegal, am I? Glory to God. He gave me the keys. I didn't have to do what we do, you know, when we learned how to do. I don't know if the ladies do this. I know the boys did. When we learned how to drive, and we'll go and get the keys, and we'll drive just a little bit to see if we can. But daddy don't know you're driving. Mommy didn't tell you that you can drive, but you knew where the keys were. God doesn't do you like that. He gives you the keys. Wow. That's what love does. Love gives you the
ability to grow up in him. He knows that you are a short when you start, but he gives you the ability to grow up in him. Do you not know that the robe of righteousness, when you put that on, that he gave you the garment of praise so that the robe of righteousness can fit you? Because that's God's robe. The armor of God, that's God's armor. And the difference between that armor and you, he fills it with the praise of his glory. So then that armor fits you because that's your praise. Glory to God. God says he inhabits. He comes in the place where praise is. So then he fills up the gap so that his armor is still active and looking like it's supposed to look, not bouncing around all making a bunch of noise. It has a sound. Oh, yes, it does. But it's not making noise. It's causing trembling, if you would, because they don't know who's in that armor. They don't know if it's you or God. Last time the devil saw that armor, he was whooped up pretty bad. Colossians chapter 3 said he led captivity captive. That's the last time he saw that armor. And we take unto us the whole armor of God. Glory to God. See? Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up. And again, give you, not make you earn, give you an inheritance. He's wanting you to participate at a higher level. And we have decided that we would allow unforgiveness to be the thing we'd rather investigate, we'd rather operate in. He gave you keys to the kingdom, and you would rather function in unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge, retaliation, gossip, tit for tat. He gave you keys that you can explore love. You can explore peace. You can explore long-suffering. You can explore all of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, either one that you wanted to explore, you can take the rest of your life exploring joy. Glory to God. You can take the rest of your life exploring faith. But here we are, going back to things that didn't profit, because that's what we're familiar with. We didn't use the keys. We didn't hear the conversations that he said, I will speak, I will say also unto you. We went back to listening at a voice that has brought us defeat and torment and anguish, rather than hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of rejoicing. See, it's our choice, however we want to process this information. Now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. I don't want you to hang around with people that are not set apart. I don't want, glory to God, I don't want you hanging around with all the common people. I want you to hang around with the people that are set apart, those that are sanctified. So why are you trying to get your information from CNN, NBC, and CBS? He wants you to get your information from those that are sanctified. Ooh, glory to God. See? Talk to people that's talking faith, because that's the victory that overcomes the world. Faith. It's not going to be an understanding that is given by this reporter or that reporter. See, we are the ones that are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. See, that have gone on they've gone on unto perfection. They're not speaking from supposition, glory to God. They're speaking from faith to faith. They're giving you the opportunity to come into a new dimension, a greater and higher dimension, where you've been invited to, where you've been called to. He called you to peace, and then he gave you the keys so that you can open the doors to peace and explore peace, that you will come to know the love of God. You can explore it. You can find out what the depth, the height, the breadth, the length, and you will know the love of God that passes knowledge. He gave you keys, and with those keys, you can explore. You can go into the deep things, because deep calleth unto deep. Deep does not call unto past. Deep calls unto deep. So again, I would ask you, why are you going back to the beggarly elements of the world, trying to get information from a place that is not going to advance you? Get your information from a place that's going to advance you, that's going to move you forward, that's going to take you from glory and then take you to glory, that's going to take you from faith and then take you to faith. It's not going to take you from faith and then go back to questions and doubts. It's not going to take you from glory and then take you to fear. See? So then the question becomes, should I build from faith or from fear? From positive paths and preordained steps or negative motivators? See? You're the one that's going to have to make those decisions. You can build from a negative motivator, unforgiveness. You can build from that if you want to. Not good, not smart, but if you want to, you can. Because you have been given positive paths. Follow me as I follow Christ. See? You have preordained steps that you should walk in. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at some things. See, are you going to let God give you revelation and with it conversation? Wow. I just started verse 1. Wow. Study this, the whole chapter. It says, for we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, soteria, which was at the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto them by us that heard it? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So he's asking us, you hear these things. The disciples heard Jesus teach, talk. He taught them saying. And so now it's up to us to take earnest heed. He said more earnest heed. Pay attention to it. Lest at any time we should let these things slip. For unto the angels, he's not put into subjection the world to come where we speak. But in a certain place he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? And what is the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angel, crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of all thy hands. Thou put all things under subjection under his feet, and put him in for in all that is put under subjection under him. There is nothing that is not left put up, nothing. Glory to God. But we see not all things yet put under him. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God, that he should taste death for every man. Again, I told you, everything that you need to do, you can do it by the grace of God. It just said that he tasted death by grace. Okay. For it became him for whom all things and by all things in the bringing of many sons, he's going to bring you into this glory. That's his objective. He wants to bring you into the glory and make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For he that sanctifies and they which are sanctified are one, for which call he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brother in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children God had given me. Watch this. Verse 14 to 15 is what I was trying to get to. But when you see that if I don't pay attention to these things, then I can't execute verse 14 to 15. Watch this. For then, as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's an interesting phrase. He destroyed him that had the power of death. And he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the reason that we don't get things done is because we go back to fears. And when you go back to fear, you become subject to bondage. Jesus sets us free, and then we are scared that this ain't going to work, that that's not going to come true, and we become subject. The Bible says fear has torment. Remember that if you don't forgive, he will give you over to the tormentors, or he will let fear rule in your emotions. Well, he didn't let it, you let it. But he says that when you don't find out that Jesus has already destroyed him that had, past tense, the power of death, and he's delivered them, but because they don't understand and walk in it, they become all of their lifetime subject to this bondage. See? God doesn't want us to do that. The power of love takes us out of the power of death. Because perfect love casts out fear. See? We live in the ability to win because God has set it up for our victory through what Jesus has already done. He has already came and destroyed him that had the power of death. So our forgiveness connects us to the greatest flow that we need in our life. Forgiveness is love in action. Remember, he was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave the debt. God so loved that he gave. Our desire is love's thoughts. Because when I delight myself in the Lord, when I regard the Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you visited him. You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him. He put that in our thinking. Crowned him with glory and honor. Confession is love in words. It's the highest form of life because he has exalted his word above all his name. See, forgiveness is the key to how we should flow in the kingdom of God, how we should flow in the things of God. If I don't choose to forgive, then I'm going to lock myself out of the kingdom, even though he gave me the keys. Oh, beloved, God is wanting us to enjoy what he's done. He's wanting us to enjoy the life that he gave us through the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. But we're going to have to determine that we're going to find the forgiveness from the Word, walk in that forgiveness, live in that forgiveness, so we can enjoy the life that he gave us, the rest that he gave us, the peace that he gave us, the joy that he gave us. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word, a word that causes us to deal with hurts, pains, and injuries and release the people that might have caused them, because they're not worth us missing the keys of the kingdom and the exploration that you want us to have day by day as we grow up in you in all things. Thank you, Father, for setting us free, causing us to know that the victory that you've given through Christ Jesus is an everlasting victory. And we will hear you build in that place of promise, in that place of revelation, that place of opportunity, so that we can enjoy good at your hand. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, again, if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, then we'll give you an opportunity to just share those. So 678-521-0933, you have the mic. 678-521-0933, you have the mic. Go ahead. 678-521-0933. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Okay, glad you're on the call. 678-906-3580. 678-906-3580. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry for tonight? So, again, we thank you all for joining. I see a lot of people have dropped off, and that's good. The reason that we ask for comments or questions is not to prove that you're right, smart, I'm right, whatever. It's to they overcame them, where the Bible says it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And we're just giving you an opportunity to speak into the atmosphere, those things that God has placed in your spirit, so that you can enjoy the victory that he has given to you. And so with that being said, we won't be on the air next week because that is a holiday and the radio station is closed on the holiday. So then we won't be doing anything that on that day. So until the next time we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And if you want to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please go to the website and go to the donate tab and go ahead and allow God to speak to your heart so that you can give an offering, a seed that would cause a return to come into your life exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Until the next time we get together, which will be June the, what will that be? That'll be June the 7th, I believe it'll be. And so we'll look to see you then. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Love you.